As humans, we're a confusing bunch. We think and do things that mystify ourselves and others. We have people such as Freud and Jung who try to explain us to ourselves. We're still mystified. But if you think about it, who knows us better than our Creator? His Holy Spirit has guided people over millennia and led many to record accounts of people from the past who have showed us a wide array of archetypes we can still empathize with and learn from. Today, let's look at what we can learn from Nicodemus, who learned from and supported Jesus, but does not fit the mold we are accustomed to for a disciple. Good or bad, right or wrong, in him, we can see aspects of ourselves and others. When we understand where we're coming from, it leads us to empathy and forgiveness. Empathy and forgiveness for others and for ourselves. In Jesus' time, one group within the religious hierarchy were the scribes. They considered the Torah carefully, looking for minutiae to instruct others on how to respond to every conceivable situation in life. Along the way, they seem to have turned the teaching principles of God's law into legalistic bylaws and regulations. Another group of the religious leaders were the Pharisees. They were a brotherhood who pledged to spend their lives observing every detail of the scribal law. This Nicodemus who visited Jesus was not only a Pharisee, but a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the 70 members who acted as a kind of supreme court for the Jews. So, in the account in John chapter 3, it's understandable that Nicodemus kept his visit to Jesus out of public view, under cover of darkness. He understood that the signs Jesus was doing could only come from God, signs that were foretold in Scripture and which many were looking for. He was compelled to find out more about them from Jesus. But in spite of being so well schooled in the scribes' laws, or maybe because his mind was so bound by those laws, Nicodemus could not wrap his mind around Jesus' teaching of being born from above. And all the rest he heard must have left his mind swirling. He was being shown how little he had truly understood. At least he was able to recognize the Spirit trying to awaken an understanding in him, so he carried his doubts carefully. After Nicodemus's visit with Jesus, there isn't a neatly wrapped up conclusion for him, and only two short mentions in Scripture. Jesus had not asked him, as he had another, to sell everything and follow him, nor had he asked him to break his pledge to live by the law. Nicodemus seems to have been given extra credit homework and quietly gone back to his high position in life. He surely would have heard the part about the whole world would be saved through Jesus, and he would have continued to hear Jesus' doings, probably all secondhand. Isn't this starting to sound familiar? We can see ourselves in Nicodemus. We suspect we glimpse the answer, but we carefully keep it to ourselves, turning it over and over in our minds. Maybe we try to study the Bible on our own and just get further into the weeds. Or maybe we are hesitant to throw ourselves open to the judgment of our peers and society by testifying to our faith or doubts, even while knowing in our hearts that this faith will give us the strength of the Spirit to deal with adversity. Nicodemus had known from Scripture how to recognize the signs of the Messiah, though unlike other Pharisees, he did not discount them. Yet, even though Scripture clearly tells of a spiritual realm as well as a physical world, Nicodemus was unable to comprehend the idea of a spiritual birth. Jesus' words about having to be born from above were a totally new and confusing concept for him. A concept he should have remembered from such scriptures as Ezekiel's promise of a new heart and a new spirit. Maybe such a sweeping concept got lost in the scribe's focus on over-explaining and finding loopholes. Again, we can see ourselves in Nicodemus, how his learned definitions were limiting his understanding. Do we wonder what we ourselves are missing or shutting out? What are we not expanding our minds to consider? It is easy to lose sight of in our busy modern society, which focuses heavily on the need for precise, logical, scientific answers. Are we too allowing our limited minds to restrict our understanding? We also may have trouble seeing Nicodemus as a follower of Jesus because he is unlike the disciples we are familiar with. Disciples who immediately and unquestioningly left behind fishing nets and families. But like many of us, Nicodemus seems to have needed time to digest the implications of the message he was receiving from Jesus and from the Spirit. He needed to strengthen his faith with truth. And the way the Spirit leads Nicodemus to act is different than we are used to hearing as well. Rather than traveling out like the disciples to teach and heal, he accomplishes a minor miracle among the Sanhedrin. He brings them to reason with logic instead of rules. An example is given in the first of the other two mentions in the scriptures in John 7:50 to 51, where he cautions the Sanhedrin elders who wish to kill Jesus by reminding them that their own law gives any accused the right of presenting their own defense first. And I don't think they really wanted to have Jesus come and interview. So they leave Jesus alone, at least for a while. Nicodemus would have been useful to God's kingdom from a platform not available to the other disciples. 3 years later, in John 19:38 through 40, we learn that he works with Joseph of Arimathea, another Jewish elder, maybe convinced by Nicodemus. They plan for the preparation of the body of Jesus for burial. We wonder what other things he was able to correct in his trusted position among the powerful in those 3 years. And turning to ourselves, we know we all have our gifts and varied ways of using them. Nicodemus's example may not be as noticeable as others, but he was an example of steady, gradual transition into spiritual birth from above. An example of thoughtfully awakening to new understandings, an example claiming space to examine his uncertainties, rebalancing his intellect with the Spirit before progressing into a deeper, committed relationship. If we suspect we are progressing slower than we would like, ask ourselves, what's the hurry? Isn't our faith strengthened by a solid foundation? Are others who we wish would progress more quickly just gradually transitioning in the dark? The story of Nicodemus also reminds us that it's the Spirit who reaches out to each of our hearts. It was the Spirit that Nicodemus responded to when he went to Jesus. He did not have an immediate conversion response based on the words of Jesus, the great teacher. So too with us. It's the Spirit that leads us to start, then prompts us to continue on our spiritual path to God. Some publicly accomplish great things that people praise. Others may more quietly allow themselves to be witnesses for God's work, working behind the scenes to quietly help and encourage others. Lastly, remember Jesus' words to Nicodemus in chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Where are we being blown today?